This is the perfect time to start a side hustle, and this is also the perfect time to start a podcast about starting a side hustle. Kick it. The dream is free, but the hustle is sold separately. This is the Living My Side Hustle podcast.
Okay, everyone, welcome to the podcast. Today we are living our side hustle. Bryson is with me today. Now, we have something in common. We both love music. And I have somebody here who does this for a living, but also, like, he's just helping kids with music. He's doing so many great things. Bryson, welcome to the podcast. Nice to have you here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to see what we can get into today.
Oh, see? We're going to get into some trouble. I love it. It'll all be recorded, too, for posterity. So this is good. Tell me a little bit. First of all, Bryson, where are you in the world?
I am in Columbus, Ohio, and that's kind of super cold, weird Ohio winter we're going through right now. But, yep, that's kind of where I live most of my life.
Beautiful. Awesome. And, okay, so what is your day job, Bryson? What do you do?
So I'm a full-time elementary music teacher. So between two schools, I teach kindergarten through sixth grade general music. So a little bit of all ages teaching music. And I absolutely love it. It's been a wild journey to get where I am so far, but I wouldn't change anything about it along the way.
So for people that are listening and they are interested in following your pursuit, any words of wisdom as far as, say, like your high school track through university, college, whatever, to get to where you are, any words of wisdom to kind of go that path?
Oh my goodness, learn the piano. That is the bane of my existence. If I could go back and change one thing about getting ready and preparing myself for undergrad, it would be having a background in piano, because I didn't start until I was an undergrad, and it was definitely an uphill battle.
Really? Okay, that was something I wasn't expecting, that answer. Did you play the piano at all before school?
Not really.
No.
Okay. So I was learning all of it at once, which has made all the theory and everything so much harder. So that's one of those, you know, I try not to have regrets in my life, but if I got to go back and change it, that's definitely one place I'd start.
Yeah. When I was 10, I started taking music lessons, and my parents told me I could learn guitar or accordion. And when you're 10, you're like, I don't know very many good accordion players that come to mind. And I'm like, well, guitar looks like fun. So I'm like, well, let's go guitar. But I would go to my lessons with my book, and someone in the class would have forgotten their book. So I just handed my book and was like, okay, let's start with this part. And I'd just be from memory, I would just start playing. But I don't remember any of the theory side,
yeah.
Right? As it was all in my head. So that's one thing I wish I knew more of, and I love talking to people who can do the theory side. That's inspiring to me. So it's like a whole new language you have to learn.
Yeah, I will say theory is not my thing. I have enough understanding to be dangerous, but I'm okay. Definitely ethnomusicology, or, you know, being a musicologist is definitely not in my future.
There you go. Okay, so you have this great day job, and you're helping kids and teaching. And that sounds inspiring and fun. But then you're like, hey, I got, like, you know, some free time, so I'm going to do this side hustle thing. And can you kind of take us to the birth of the idea of your side hustle?
Oh, my goodness. I kind of fell into it, but my side hustle is running an online business called That Music Teacher. And it's all about helping other elementary music teachers kind of get the content-specific professional development they don't really get from their districts. And honestly, they don't really get in the undergraduate level. But all of it kind of happened by accident. It spiraled out of control in the most amazing way. But literally all of it started with me creating an Instagram account to live vicariously through other music teachers. Because my first year out of undergrad, I actually was not in the music classroom. I was working as a one-on-one aide with students with disabilities. And I loved it, but I missed the music classroom. So I created an Instagram account so that I could have all these music teachers on this Instagram account without clouding my personal Instagram account with only music teachers. And it just kind of spiraled from there to where it's at today.
So is what you're doing more state specific, or does it cross state boundaries to other states? Is it more universal?
So a lot of what I'm teaching is very much so just like the foundations of good teaching. So I definitely, you know, I've had teachers that I've worked with from all over the world. Okay. Most of what I talk about tends, you know, if it has a centric, you know, approach, it tends to be a little bit more US centric. But honestly, only that's only with like specific laws about like, you know, IEPs and things like that, that, you know, there are similar things in other countries. But when it comes down to it, the foundations of good teaching are just the same wherever you are.
And you've also bundled in there a podcast on top of this. So
yeah,
tell me about the power of having a podcast in relation to what you're teaching.
That was another one of those accidents. So, like I said, I created that Instagram account, and my first year of teaching, I'm sitting in my house and I'm just kind of scrolling on Instagram, and I accidentally go live on Instagram and didn't even know that was the thing I could do at that point. But instead of turning it off or, you know, throwing my phone out the window, I just kind of went with it. I started sharing about what I was doing in my classroom and like how my week was going. And people started talking back. And it turned into this weekly Instagram live, what I call it, a midweek check-in, where I would pop on live for about half an hour or so. I'd give a little itsy bitsy mini training, talk about, you know, what I was doing in my classroom, and then just kind of chat with people, other music teachers, because we don't get to do that often. And then that spiraled. It became the idea of Instagram started letting you go live with other people. So I started bringing guests on and we started doing these interview style things. But back in the day, you couldn't save these Instagram lives if they had a guest for whatever reason. Yeah. So once didn't catch it live, they were just gone. So that's where the podcast came out of. It kind of spiraled into, you know, I have a podcast called That Music Podcast, and we just passed 3 years. And we just kind of dive into what it really means to be an elementary music teacher. And basically I share all the PD that I wish that I would have had when I was starting out, and, you know, definitely listening to other people and their expertise along the way. But it's been a wild journey, but it's so much fun.
You mentioned PD, like personal development for teachers. Is it readily available? Is it hard to find? Tell me a little bit about that.
So that's definitely a loaded question. definitely has a lot of responses. But when it comes down to just in general, like oftentimes the PD that teachers are getting is a little bit removed. You know, the people that are developing these professional development opportunities, you know, if they've been in the classroom, it's been a minute since they've been in the classroom. And let's be honest, even just in the last couple of years, education has changed so much. Yeah. And when it comes to music teachers, it tends to not exist. And if it does exist, it's not going to be for the elementary level, especially on this kind of on-demand online. You know, you might be able to go to your state conference, but that's pretty much it. So that's kind of my journey. And my goal is to make it more accessible, because the reality is there are a lot of music teachers out there that don't feel supported and they don't feel like they have the tools to be successful, and their districts aren't giving them the tools they need.
What I like too is you just talked about Instagram and how you stumbled into creating a community, which is great, because there's probably somebody out there going, I wish I could talk to somebody in my field and communicate and do life with and ask my questions, everything. And you just kind of stumbled into creating your own community. So when that community was new and fresh, what did you do beyond more Instagram videos and things to increase your community and start growing this group that you have today?
Yeah, and you bring up a good point. Like, it is a community, and it's one of those things I like to call it, but I do call it the Music Teacher Island. We are typically the only music teachers in our school, and some of us might be the only music teachers in our district. And we rarely get to collaborate and communicate and just be around other music teachers. And that's something that I wanted to change. And luckily I'm not on this journey alone. There are a lot of other people doing this, but when I was starting off, it just came from sharing what I was doing and being able to give whatever I could. I mean, I started my Instagram account before I even had my first year in the music classroom. So I just kind of started from the very beginning. So at the beginning, I didn't have much to share, but whatever I did have to share, I shared, because I understand that, you know, even though I had just started, I knew that I didn't have all the answers, but I knew that I had some answers to questions other people might have. And then I used that reciprocally. I knew that there are a lot of people that had a lot of answers to the questions that I was having. And part of the reason that that music teacher in all of its entirety is still around is that I truly believe that if it weren't for the community of online music educators at the time, I wouldn't be able to get through my first few years of teaching, especially considering my second year of teaching was when the world exploded with COVID, and we all had to figure it all out again. And that was it was a lot. So I'm glad I had a community to fall back on.
The teachers in your community, Bryson, are they all just full-time music teachers, or are they split with other categories and things they're teaching in their school?
So there's a little mix. I would say the largest population by far is elementary music teachers. Now, what that looks like, depending on the district and depending on the school, could be different. Like, for instance, I'm kindergarten through sixth grade at two different schools. Other someone else might be just first grade through fifth grade or fourth grade through fourth grade. Then you might also have someone who's kindergarten through 12th grade and they're doing all the things. But I know we also, you know, every different state and every different school, and, you know, maybe private schools, charter schools, things like that might have different requirements for what it takes to be a music teacher. So I know that we've also had people that were just kind of thrown into teaching music. Like, hey, you know, I was a classroom teacher and I noticed that our kids didn't get music. So that's what I'm doing now. I'm teaching music. I have no training in it. What do I do? And while there's definitely a conversation to be had about how we can train music educators to be music educators, there's also the reality that there are people that don't have the undergraduate training in theme music that are being tasked with educating our students in music.
So specifically for music teachers, what kind of ongoing training and what kind of development is there specifically for music teachers? Because I can see, Bryson, that somebody could come into becoming a music teacher and then kind of plateau. And they're not really growing musically, which is just as important as being a teacher. So that combination of music and teacher, what's out there for you in your community to help you improve?
Well, I would say one of the biggest blessings and a curse about being an elementary music teacher is oftentimes we're not given a like district approved curriculum. It's great because I don't have to teach this certain way and, you know, this. But what's rough about it is I have to create an entire curriculum, and we don't really teach teaching curriculum in undergrad. So I would say there are a lot of opportunities through, you know, other music educators that are doing similar work as I do, to, you know, graduate courses on curriculum development. And even just something as simple as, you know, just this past weekend, I had my state's music education conference, and people were sharing their favorite lessons, their favorite songs, their favorite ways to teach this specific concept, because a lot of us are just piecing together everything we can to build a curriculum that helps our students learn, because we don't have anything to begin with. So thankfully, I'm not the only one out there doing this work. There are so many other people that are creating information for specific teachers to help them in this journey. But I would definitely say that's kind of the biggest journey in a lot of music teachers struggle, is figuring out what to teach and when to do it and how to do it, honestly.
Seems like compared to like all like your math and your sciences, everything else, the onus seems to be on the teacher to create the classroom experience. And that seems like it's based on the teacher's passion for the music, teacher's passion for learning, as it relates to music. I can just see there's not like a consistent teaching style or method or curriculum across the board that teaches my student comes to your class and then goes into another teacher's class. Are they getting the same lessons? Are they getting taught the same way? Are they growing? Or how are they measured? Right? All this stuff happens when you kind of look at that. So that's why I think community is really important for you to build is now you get all these people together, even though you stumbled into it on Instagram, you're getting these people together and you're having a conversation. Tell me about your guests on your podcast, them coming on. What are you learning about your teaching style when you have these experts come onto your podcast?
I did, especially at the beginning of my podcast, I did a lot of interviews. I still do interviews, but, you know, I was able to, what was really cool is, you know, honestly, kind of a selfish note, I've been able to make connections with music teachers from all over the country and the world. And we're like friends now. We like text each other. Like some people I saw at the conference and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't seen you since before COVID. And we're able to connect. And that just, again, getting off of music teacher island. But when it comes to being able to be a part of the conversations that we were able to have with my guests, It was just very interesting to be able to see things from a different point of view. One interview that I had recently was with a specialist on ADHD. And as someone who has always had ADHD and thinking back to my own schooling and, you know, going through school and also being a teacher with ADHD, it was really eye-opening and being able to kind of have some introspective on what that means and how the way I am reflects in my classroom. It, regardless of the speaker or the topic, it's just very interesting to see a different perspective and to be able to see that while we all teach music, we all do so in very different ways.
And that's the beauty of having a community, right? You're going to learn from each other. And that's the one thing I love about podcasting in the sense that if there's no party, then start the party and then you're the host. Or get in front of the parade and lead the parade, you know, and there's no one else there to do so. So that's what I'm getting from you is you just kind of, like you said, stumbled into this and now you're building your community around it. So I love it. I love that you're doing that.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer in the saying that a rising tide raises yes. all ships. And, you know, that's honestly one of the foundations of, you know, and like missions of my business. Not only do I want to share the information I have to help other music teachers, but I also want to create things that help other music teachers that are doing things similar to the way that I do it or similar to what I'm doing. You know, it could be really easy for someone in such a very specific niche of trainings for elementary music teachers to want to have this competition with other people that do it. But honestly, these are some of the people that we work together the most. We're able to create opportunities for all of us to be in this space because when it comes down to it, when we coexist and honestly help each other thrive, that's what helps the teachers in the classroom get better. And that's what helps the students get better. And it just kind of allows all of us to increase our impact.
I love your passion, Bryson, for what you're doing. This is not some teacher showing up. I'm using general terms, not a teacher who just shows up, teaches, and that's it. Walks out. The bell's ringing while they're still on their way to the car. You know, they're just like, yeah, it's a job. This is more than a job for you is what I'm getting just listening to you.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It shows.
It's core to my identity as a person and as a musician and as an educator. And it's hard to separate those things out. And I think a lot of teachers feel the same way. You know, I'm lucky to be in a place where, you know, I don't have kids at the time. So when I come home, I'm able to do this stuff. Yeah. You know, I have time to find all the information for the things. But the reality is there are teachers that are raising families that when they go home, they can't spend hours, you know, researching better lesson plans, things like that. So I want to be a part of that. I want to help them find the solution faster so that they can get more out of what they do.
On a side note, as a from one musician to another, who's inspiring you musically right now? Who is it that you're just like, oh, I put this music on and it just takes me somewhere? Who is it for you?
So I have a little bit of a weird answer to this. So first of all is, strangely, I don't listen to much music, which I know sounds so strange, but you know, I get to spend all day with these amazing little musicians and they inspire me. And I know that kind of sounds hokey.
That's a great answer.
But the reality is especially when I give them the tools and they just take it to a place that I never would have expected, they humble me a lot. they really, they, they show that music is an innately human thing, and that it's not a skill that you either have or you don't. It's kind of like a muscle where you have it. The more you use it, the more comfortable you feel using it, the more you're able to get deeper into what it means to be a music maker. But honestly, I'd have to say it's my students. They are the ones that inspire me, and they're the music that kind of touches my soul in a way that I can't really describe.
That was like a pitch right across the plate, and you hit a home run with that one. That was beautiful. So, okay, Bryson, let's talk to the parents for a second. I want to get into more side hustle, but I just want to cover this too. Parents who are thinking about, for their kids, should my kids take music classes in school? It's an option where I am. Should I kind of point my kids in that direction? What is the power of being in a music class and learning music for the children's development? Tell me how that helps.
Oh, goodness. I could take this answer a bajillion ways. I mean, first of all, just thinking of the actual physical brain development that music helps encourage, and, you know, rewriting those neural pathways and creating more neural connections it's crazy. Like, it's looking at the research, the amount that being involved in music allows the hemispheres of your brain to interact with each other because of those neural connections. It's wild. But beyond that, I tend to focus more on the social emotional learning side of it, because you can know all the information, but if you don't know how to be a person in society, you're going to struggle. You know, you might have all of the, you might be able to do quantum physics, but if you don't know how to exist and coexist with other people, life's going to be hard. And that's what I love about music. I mean, thinking about my own experience as a student going through music, that's where I found my community. That's where I was able to be myself, no matter what that was. And, you know, the friendships that I've made, lifetime friendships that I've made, are because of music. And, you know, I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit, but if you're a parent listening, boys can do music too. Singing is not a feminine thing. Music is an innately human thing that can benefit every single person on this planet.
Oh, you can be on your soapbox anytime you want. I love it. The one thing I love about music as well.
I have a lot of soapboxes.
Let's bring them all out. This is great. One thing I love about music too is when you're doing this in a group setting, is it teaches you to listen to other people, to how to interact with each other, right? And for me, when I play music, there's times when you're up front when you're playing something. There's times when you're more supportive role in the music, and you get to learn how to interact with others towards a common goal, that you're all working on the same piece of music, and everyone's connected. Even if you're just playing the triangle, you know, ding, ding, everyone has a part to play, and it's open for everyone, no matter your skill level. That's what I love about music. It brings us together.
Yeah. And what I love about it too is there's not a right answer. You know, so often in the educational system, it's this is right, this is wrong. That's the answer. But in music, we can really engage in that creative thinking, because there might be 1,000 answers, or maybe there's only one answer, but there's a bajillion different ways to get there. And I think when you know, for better or for worse, the overall educational system is focused on the binary right or wrong, allowing students the experience to understand that sometimes it's not one or the other. Sometimes it's both or neither or some third option we didn't even know about. That's where students are able to be completely educated as well-rounded humans.
Bryson, I love where you're going with this. This is great. Okay, let's talk side hustle stuff. Bryson, what have you learned about yourself in having a side hustle? You mentioned you have some free time to pursue other things and help people, which is amazing. What have you learned about yourself? Because you could do anything with your time. You could spend it on yourself. You could invest in yourself, and, you know, but you've chosen to do this. What have you learned about yourself?
So much, honestly. And what I think is most surprising is a lot of the skills that I've learned as an online entrepreneur have helped me as a teacher. I mean, in so many different ways. For instance, the amount of streaming and Instagram and social media stuff. You know, a couple of years ago, my union had an event that we needed to figure out how to live stream, and I'm like, I got this. And, you know, like thinking about just what I love to think about is, you know, if I scroll back, you can still do this. If you go to my Instagram and scroll all the way to the bottom, you'll see I was not visible for the longest time. It was me hiding behind a caption or something, but you never saw my face. And now that's I'm front and center. I'm so much more confident. I'm so much more just aware of who I am and more comfortable with who I am because, you know, for better or for worse, being online, people will tell you if they don't like it. And, you know, it takes a little bit, but then you can get, I got confident and I'm like, you know what? No, this is it. And I like that. And I don't know. I've learned so much.
So for those that are thinking about maybe a podcast as a side hustle, any words of wisdom to them?
Just start doing it. It doesn't need to be fancy. I definitely dove in a little deep when I first got started, but like you could literally just do it with your iPhone headphones and GarageBand, and that's totally fine. Just start doing it. Podcasting is a long game. So getting in the habit of podcasting is going to get you to where you want to be, wherever that is.
Speaking of where you're going to be, where are you headed with all of this?
I don't know. That's kind of the truth. You know, like I'm at this point, you know, where I'm like, I'm not sure what my next step is. You know, I don't know, you know, quite frankly, I don't know, you know, will I leave the classroom and go into higher education? Will I, you know, get on the conference circuit? I don't know where the next step is. But what I love about it is I have the option to go so many places, and I've afforded myself to create whatever life I want to create. And that's honestly why I love my side hustle. As much as I love, you know, being able to connect with people and help people, I love that I know that what I'm creating is something real. It's not a hobby. It's not something I do when I have free time. It's something that I'm building consciously to be something. Whatever that something is, I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I know that it's going somewhere.
I love it. I like it, Bryson. That's great. Okay. So from your perspective then, how do people continue to grow in the music field as teachers? What kind of resources do you see are lacking that maybe through your podcast, through your community that you're building, that maybe you can address some of these things? What are some of the big areas you see that teachers need just a little bit more help?
Like I said before, definitely that curriculum development, you know, aspect and finding repertoire that is worthwhile. It's high quality. It's coming from a place that we should be perpetuating. But honestly, a lot of people, if they have any understanding or experience working at the elementary level in undergrad, it tends to be, you know, kindergarten, first grade, the little ones. But then we have these fifth and sixth graders who are a completely different set of wonderful and frustrating decisions every day. You know, how do we engage those students that might not want to be there? How do we understand that not everyone's going to want to sing? How do we make music making and not just singing? You know, how do we engage those students that are more introspective in musical listening? How do we ensure that our classrooms truly are for everyone in every sense of that word? And that right there, that last one especially, is really my main passion, especially lately, to ensure that when we say music is for everyone, we really mean it. And we're not gatekeeping it. We're not saying it's for everyone if XYZ. We mean everyone.
Okay, Bryson, take me to a teacher parent night in your classroom. We're going to all sit on those little chairs as parents, and our knees are up by our ears. We're going to sit and talk to you about our students and how they're doing in your class. Is there something that you like to tell parents in those face-to-face meetings with them about music and why it's important, and just in some general sense of how kids are growing because of a music program to encourage them?
I mean, there's definitely a lot that I could answer that question with. I think my biggest answer is, especially those students that they struggle in math or reading or in their general classroom, those are the kids I tend to find at parent-teacher conference night and make sure I talk to their parents, because I get to see them in a different light. they have a completely different set of struggles and strengths and weaknesses in my classroom. For instance, we have one student in my fourth grade right now that he struggles a lot academically. And, you know, when you struggle academically for many, many years, you start to internalize it and you start to create behavior issues because nobody likes not to feel like they're not good at something. Well, we just started the recorder and this kid is nailing it. He is a rock star. I've taught him for years and I've never been able to go through a class without having to redirect him multiple times. But he is completely engaged. He's completely inspired by it because he can do it. And he, seeing the pride in him, those are the conversations I like to have with students themselves and with parents and saying, hey, look at this. Look at what you were able to accomplish when you tried. Look at what you were able to accomplish when you looked at it a different way. And sometimes it just comes down to giving someone a win when the rest of their day is going to be a struggle. And that's what I think my biggest calling is as a teacher, is to make sure that every kid has a win every single day.
What a high calling to be a teacher. And I think my hope and my wish is that more people value and invest in teaching, because just that illustration alone, Bryson, that student leaving your classroom, again, maybe not feeling as confident in other areas, leaving with a sense of accomplishment and that I've attained something, that my teacher noticed me, that I'm on a good path, like that just feeds students to grow. Even if the next class is going to be hard, they've had some wins. You need a win. And I think that's what you're offering students, is the chance to win. That's amazing.
Yeah, I think it's the highlight of my day too, honestly, seeing them have that win.
It's beautiful. Okay, any words of advice for somebody, Bryson, who's thinking about having a side hustle? They're not sure, you know, what they should do. They're not sure about going on Instagram and hitting that live button for the first time, starting a podcast, whatever it is. Any words of wisdom from your side of the microphone? How do we start a side hustle that brings value and creates community and helps the world? What do we do?
I mean, just get started. You know, what you create on day one doesn't have to be what you have on day 500. And that's what I love about, even within my business, I've iterated in so many different ways, but the core values are still there. The core mission is still there. And sometimes that mission has gotten more specific or more robust. And, you know, if you're sitting on the, especially when you're coming from a mission and influence kind of stance, what do you want to accomplish? What impact do you want to be able to have on your community or those around you? And then how do you get yourself to allow that impact to happen? How do you break that down into actionable steps? And how do you make sure that everything that you're doing is coming out of complete integrity and it's going back to those values that you have? Because let's be honest, especially when you're starting out, your business values are your personal values, and they need to interact, and they probably are the same because it's just you. But how can you do whatever you want to do in a way that is truly living the way you want to live?
I'm a music teacher, Bryson, and I stumbled across your podcast on my podcast app. I'm deciding whether or not to listen and subscribe and follow and share. Tell me, what do I need to know about the podcast to make me hit play?
Each week, we're going to dive into something that is relevant to what you teach every day. You know, it's not going to be another PD that you're required to go about the new reading curriculum. It's not going to be, you know, what high school choir is doing this year. It's going to be something that's going to impact your classroom. It's going to get you thinking. It's going to give you the tools to add to your toolbox, and it's going to help you create a bigger impact in your lives. And hopefully it's going to allow you to do so more efficiently so that this teaching doesn't take over the rest of your life. Because the reality is, if you burn out after 4 years, even if you were the greatest teacher for 4 years, you know, there's 30 some years of potential students that you would have had that don't get to have you. And is finding that balance of being an amazing teacher, but also doing it in a sustainable way, is something that I'm really passionate about. And we're going to talk about on the podcast.
And for those teachers that feel alone on campus in their schools, where you're going to the teacher's lounge and there's no one to nerd out about music in the school, the community that you're building is a great place to do that and kind of join other music teachers and people from around the world. Talk just a little bit about your community. Talk about your website. I'm on while we're chatting. I have it up on my screen. Talk about the website and what this offers to people who come to find you.
For sure. Well, if you feel alone, you're definitely not alone. You are one of many music teachers stuck on Music Teacher Island, and we'd love to have you. So if you head over to thatmusicteacher.com or follow me on Instagram at thatmusicteacher, you'll be able to see some of the information that I share, which tends to be information that you can apply in your classroom tomorrow. How can you, you know, teach this concept? How can you apply different lesson planning strategies? How can you get new strategies? For instance, you know, this past summer we implemented an online summit, the Elementary Music Summit, that was a wonderful success, and being able to see so many people get value out of that. We'd love to have you for the next one, and we'd love for you to be a part of this community, because a community is only as good as the people that are inside it.
We've talked about Music Teacher Island a few times. I have to ask, Bryson, if you're stranded on Music Teacher Island, it's just you. It may just be for the weekend, but it's just you. What do you need to have with you? Some creature comforts you need for Music Teacher Island? You're stranded. What do you need?
I don't know. That's a good question. You know, I would love to have some way for me to just reflect on things, whether it be a journal or some way to reflect on my thoughts and organize my thoughts. Because, you know, as someone with ADHD, sometimes that's a struggle. But what I've noticed over, you know, as being a teacher and running my business, is sometimes when I can take all the thoughts that are in my head and put them into an organized way, they are very different than what they looked like in my head. And that's where the magic can happen sometimes.
If I was stranded on Music Teacher Island, I would want Wi-Fi so that I can listen to your podcast, go to your website, and communicate with you. And I think there's some teachers who might agree with me. So, Bryson, it's great to have you on and to share your side hustle journey. I wish you well. I wish you more success than you've ever seen with your students. And just keep reminding yourself about that student with a recorder and what your positive affirmations to that student, what they're going to be 5, 10, 15 years from now when he looks back at his teacher and goes, I remember that teacher who poured into me when I couldn't find my way, and they pulled something out of me that made me find my path in life. So you have a high calling, Bryson. I wish you had triple the pay. All the benefits, everything you need to do what you do, because you're doing something great for the next generation. Please don't stop, and keep building your community for music teachers. I think it's great.
Thank you so much. Again, I'm humbled every day by my students. I'm glad that I get to spend my day with them and be part of their growing up. And I appreciate you. Thanks so much for having me today. And again, I feel like we could have made this conversation go forever. but I really appreciate us getting to dive into something.
Awesome. So one more time, Bryson, the website for you?
It's thatmusicteacher.com.
Very simple, right? And the podcast, same thing, right?
Podcast. That music podcast.
There it is. Everyone go and find it. Everything's in the show notes. Please go over and give Bryson some love and some appreciation for what he's doing for our kids. Bryson, thank you so much for being part of Living My Side Hustle.
Thanks for having me.
Hey parents, if you're anything like me, balancing screen time for our kids is a constant struggle. That's why I want to share a little secret with you. KidsPod, a revolutionary app where podcasts aren't just for adults anymore. KidsPod offers a treasure trove of kid-friendly podcasts, making it super easy and safe for your little ones to explore, learn, and be entertained without staring at a screen. And the best part? It's completely free to download. Empower their imagination and curiosity with content that's made just for them. Download the KidsPod app today, because podcasts are for kids too.